What would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with 8 or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
It's finally here. Cheltenham day one. The declarations have landed. And we are going to be tipping up winners. And I say we, I mean Ruby Walsh, who's back in the hot seat with Rory De Laghi. Ruby Walsh, how are you? Are you excited? Are you ready? You ready for battle?
Don't know. Hopefully I won't be in a battle, PK. But yeah, ready to go. Can't wait. Decks this morning. A few interesting ones, different, and even jockey bookings. One really caught my eye in the Ultimate. But yeah, looking forward to PK. Can't wait. Wish it was Tuesday morning.
I know. Just for transparency, we're recording 12:08 on Sunday afternoon, so Dex landed literally 2 hours ago, giving the lads. Obviously, we've been looking at these races, Rory, but there are some fresh angles into it, particularly in the handicaps. And even if you are safely ensconced in Riyadh, hopefully it'll be fine that you win us first.
Certainly hope so.
That's the plan, isn't it? That is the plan. All right, I've got show notes. I'm going to skip through them from producer Mark. As always, this is one of our most listened to episodes, so I've got to go through these. Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, loads of good stuff on it. I would really urge anyone to watch the Brian Cooper Rewind with Ruby and Paddy. It is absolutely superb. Sit down, put the tea or the coffee on. Brilliant stuff. And up and coming after that, maybe live in the next few days, is the Weighing Room Tour, I should say, for Ruby Walsh. Did you get Matt Chapman in there, Ruby, as well? Or was it just
yeah, we were supposed to do something else, PK, but unfortunately the weather went against us and we had to add labour. We ended up in the Wareham telling all stories and yeah, I probably didn't find it that interesting, but maybe somebody else will.
Believe you me, producer Mark, and he doesn't lie, he did say, geez, it was really good in the end. So that will be on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel soon. Last call for Cheltenham fans on tickets, at least they are running out. That's on Friday, Gold Cup Day in Dublin. Link in the show notes to tickets. So that was really good fun. And if you are in Cheltenham, if you're lucky enough, unlike myself, Ruby, what are you doing Tuesday morning? Are you busy?
I think I'm okay Tuesday morning, PK. Don't be
busy. Okay. Well, if you go to the Brewery Quarter Tuesday morning, watch out for a beer truck. That's all I say. There you go.
The Brewery Quarter.
Yeah, you do.
Big memories there.
It's kind of relatively newish, the Brewery Quarter, isn't it, Rory?
It is newish, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, the way it's been developed, yes.
Yeah. No, I've been there a few times. But anyway, I know it would be hilarious if you went with a skin full on you and we saw you in the tactics truck then, Ruby, saying...
I was just thinking the very same thing. I will definitely not be in the Brewery Quarter on Tuesday morning. That I will guarantee you. I know myself well enough, PK, and I don't think me going on television with 3 points in me would be of any use to anybody. Well, maybe it'd be entertaining for some, but Jesus, I'd end up at...
Do you know what I think? I think having Ruby in the truck 3 days a week and then just grabbing somebody random from the Brewery Quarter after a few pints for the other day to see how the analysis works in that kind of scenario would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
I think having Ruby with a skin full of pints would be great. I think Ed Chamberlain, right, Ruby, what are your thoughts as a Supreme? That was an excellent ride. I don't know. Was there a race on? Give us another pint.
Oh, there would be, yeah. No, jeez. <geez. laughs>
Anyway, if you aren't Ruby Walsh, get to the Brewery Quarter in Cheltenham Town on Tuesday if you want. I believe there's going to be some free stuff there, mainly booze. Okay, let's talk about the Cheltenham Festival. The Supreme Dex of Land of Mystical Power. As I said, we're recording just after 12, so these are the first show prices. 3-1 favourite, Firefox 7-2, as is Tully Hill, who gets the Paul Tennant right. 5-1 Slade Steel, the surprising mover, maybe due to Ballyburn. 7-1 Jericho to Repinay, and 12-1 a bigger the rest. Willie's got 6 in it, Ruby, so I've got to start with you.
Yeah, and look, one that nobody's seen before is obviously Super Sunday, who has had a couple of runs in France. Patrick rides him. I imagine if he could run in the money, PK, they'd be absolutely delighted. But he's a horse for next year, and he's having his first start in the UK. He's had 2 runs in France. Gold Dancer was disappointing behind Ballyburn at the Dublin Racing Festival. They're the 2 outsiders. Asian Master has done absolutely nothing wrong. Great ride for young Tom Costello. He beat Jimmy Desoy in Better Days Ahead in his 2 runs. So that is strong enough form, 22-1. He's probably in each way price. Mr. Giff and Mystical Power both wear hoods. First time out, they were both in Bikini on their last starts. They're both wearing hoods. But I think Paul's in the right one. He obviously didn't have the choice. He couldn't have ridden Mystical Power. Mark Walsh rides him, but I'd be happy if I was Paul Townend to be going to the start on Tully Hill. 12 runners, not a massive field for a Supreme. think they'll go hard to the first, but it's a short run to the first as well. His jumping has been an issue, but I just think with 12, no real tearaway front runner, this could get tactical. The jumping mightn't matter as much. And I'd be looking forward to going to the start on him.
Did Willie Mullins find in the duty free a load of cheap hoods? Because it seems like he's putting hoods on half his runners. Is that something that was always planned?
A big conversation yesterday. Saturday, yeah. Good debate about it, this and that, and which horses. And yeah, you know, you're trying to get everything right for the big day. So yeah, there's a couple of wearing hoods. And it's 60,000 people, different environment for them, different atmosphere. You're looking for every angle, PK.
Suddenly you'd like to be there some of these days. Rory, fresh look at the Supreme. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I just want to touch on that Willie and the hoods thing. A lot of people crunching the numbers here will be looking at how horses have run in first-time hoods at the Cheltenham Festival and that kind of thing. What you won't see looking at the numbers is how many of Willie's horses have won at the festival wearing earplugs before. And if you look, loads of, well, Ruby would know exactly really which ones had earplugs and which ones didn't, but a lot of Willie's winners wore earplugs, which don't get declared. So anyone who thinks that the hood might be a negative needs to be aware of that. And I think it's just a variation on a theme, really.
Okay.
It is. And obviously earplugs go into their ears. Some horses like them, other horses don't like them. Gaelic Warrior got one out last year in the Ballymore. One earplug came out and they couldn't get it back in. And, you know, it is, Rory's dead right. It's just a variation. A hood is declared, earplugs aren't. And, you know, I wouldn't be reading into the numbers anyway.
Fair enough. Your take on the potential winner, Rory?
I think at this stage, I'd probably back Slade Steel each way. We talked about him extensively through the year. Myself and Ruby both like him. I thought he ran really well at Leopardstown. What I like about him compared to the others in here is that he's a really solid jumper. And I think that's a slight question mark for both Tully Hill and Mystical Power. Slade Steel might find something with a bit too much toe for him in this race, but I think he does look a really solid one each way. I know people are suggesting that Jericho de Repene, his Doncaster form has been boosted and trying to suggest that's a bit better, but he doesn't really look to have the gears for this for me. So I'd probably go each way Slade Steel with Rachel on board. The other one who makes a wee bit of each way appeal is Teller the Name. If you're getting 20s or bigger about that, that would be interesting. He's a little bit of a, he's not a shot in the dark as such, but he looked very good winning twice at Huntingdon, which is a very, very different track to this. Got stuck in the mud in the Formby at Aintree over Christmas, but I know Ben Pauling holds this horse in really high regard. He's a gorgeous looker as well. He's going to be a better horse next season. But you have to mention Ben Pauling's form at the moment. He had the first and second in the EBF final at the weekend. His hurdlers have been in tremendous form since the turn of the year, so I could see Teller the Name maybe being the one to spring a shock in the race, but I think Slade Steel's a safer each way selection for me.
Interesting you mentioned each way. I'm open to correction here, but I did ask the traders before we came on air. No one's working today though. I think we might be going four places in the Supreme, but do check the Paddy Power website for details on that. We might be going four places in the Supreme, which could be a fantastic offer. And if you pop into a shop as well ahead of the Supreme, have a tenner on it and you get a free fiver bet on any other race on the day. Okay, let's move on to the Arkell Chase, and we've got the eight runners. Each way betting in all races bar the National Chase, which is great. Gaelic Warrior was announced a couple of days ago. He's going to go here. 3-1 favourite. Found a 50-92. 5-1 Ilite Tom. Quilixios the Mover in the last few days. 6-1. Hunter's Yarn not unfancied at 13-2. And my mate Mozzie goes here instead of a handicap at 8-1. And the best of the Brits, JPR 1. Back to you, Rory De Largy.
I find this really tough. I've struggled to find something that I really like in the race. As you know, I like Master Chewy, but I was really hoping he'd go the handicap route. And I just wonder whether him and Matata have both got a slightly short here. I think it's worth pointing out how you think the race is going to be run. And Gaelic Warrior is surely going to go forward, find a 50 now, but to go forward as well. But both of those are inclined to shift right-handed to some degree or another. And I just get the picture of the two of them not helping each other in that regard through the race. And there's got to be scope for something to be able to sort of track them or sit midfield and then nip through on the inside and take an opportunity off the final bend. I'm trying to work out who might have the tactical nous to do that. And when it comes to tactical nous at Cheltenham, Rachel Blackmore is always the first name that comes to mind. I haven't been completely convinced by Calixios so far, because obviously he was stepped up to 3 miles for his second start over fences. Obviously got back on track last time out. The form of his win last time out is open to interpretation, it has to be said. But obviously, we know he's a horse with an awful lot of class going back to his juvenile hurdling days. And this will probably be a fair test of stamina if you've got some Gilly Warrior and Find a 50 taking edge either on. Matata wants to go from the front as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of pace on here, and it may, and jumping will be under pressure. And I think something that jumps soundly and stays well might end up coming through. So again, Quilixios fits the bill there. I'm not massively confident, I have to say, but I'll go and I'm going to have a look back at his run last time out and look back at a couple of his previous runs and see if I can make myself more confident. But he's the pick.
Okay, Quilixios for Rory, but not strong. It's a difficult race to be strong in, Ruby.
It is, and I'm kind of with Rory here. I mean, Everton, Rory has said, even the way he sees the race playing out, and I was looking for the one. I think that actually they'll go that quick that these could actually fall in a hole. I was looking for one not so much to quicken off the bend, the one that might just be keeping going from behind. And I landed on Mr. Chewy as well. He's back out to 20s. I think he could get bigger by Tuesday. And I think each way he could come and pick up pieces in a race that is really, really tricky. And again, I'd be weak about that. It's not a strong choice, but I'd be looking for an angle. And maybe, wouldn't be likely PK, but I probably way overthought this. And I just think Master Chewy may be at a huge price for a small stake each way.
One of the great thinkers of the game, Ruby. Don't be knocking yourself. One of the great thinkers. Just off the Mullins, 1, 2, 3, 2 trio that I can see. The big three, Gaelic Warrior.
Gaelic Warrior going this direction, you'd have to worry. I don't think there's a good jump between himself and Found a 50. One makes a mistake, it'll be the difference. It'll be the reason why the other one is finished in front of it. And Hunter's Yarn, just think he's a weak finisher. I'd like him to be a bit stronger finisher. I was disappointed with him in last year's county. So again, look, I'm not saying any of them can't win, and if you do fancy them, please go with your own good instinct. But it just does not for me.
Would you enjoy the challenge of Gaelic Warrior in Cheltenham, given everyone saying?
Yeah, of course I would. And I would, yeah. not now I wouldn't, but I would have. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the ultimate. By the way, one note I forgot is that if you want a check out paddypower.com, if you have an account, you get free bets. I think we were telling people there's going to be more free bets than ever at Cheltenham. So I should reference some free bets Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm told. Check out the Paddy Power account. Opt in, I think you have to do to get those. The ultimate, the first big handicap, the 3-miler. Now, apparently, when JP McManus buys a horse the week before a Cheltenham Festival, he gets a couple of notches quicker because all of these horses he's bought have been shortening in the market. Meeting of the Waters is one of those at 4-1. The Goffer ran well in this race before, 5-1. 6-1 Chianti Classico, Stumptown 7-1, Trelawne 10-1, 12-1 and bigger the rest for this race. We mentioned, I'm going to tell you, 6 places in this race as well. Ruby, you noted an interesting jockey booking here.
I did. And look, to me, Meeting of the Waters, he's 100%. He's in great form. But 4-1 in a 23-runner handicap chase is just not for me, PK. He likes to come up a little bit off the pace as well. Maybe he is well handicapped, but I think there's better value and more options elsewhere. The Goffer, as you said, ran really well last year. And I didn't envy David Bass. He had a big decision to make here. Chianti Classico or Trelawne. He's gone for Chianti Classico. I'd have gone the other way. Now, David Bass is probably right. But I think Harry Cobden stepping in to ride Trelawne, stepping up to 3 miles, having run 2.5 at Carlisle, 2.5 at Cheltenham, 2-3 at Weatherby, and 2-3 at Exeter behind Crebley. I think he's crying, you know, for a trip. I think Harry Cobden riding him at 10-1. I'd prefer to have him a few quid each way on him now than Meeting of the Waters, to tell you the truth.
Fair enough. Okay. Rory, fresh angle on the handicaps. The declarations is really when we properly look at these races. Anything stand out at this stage?
Yeah, Trelawne is the one that's highlighting this as well. He won this time last year. He went to Uttoxeter and won that really competitive handicap hurdle, beating Lord Snooty. And Lord Snooty's a horse I like as well. He might end up, if he wasn't getting the pretense, might end up in the same race next at the weekend, rather. I thought Trelawne has been running well enough over trips that'll be short for him, and stepping up to 3 miles could well be the making of me. He's got the right kind of profile for a race like this, and I completely agree with Ruby. David Bass had a tough ask, and having Harry Cobden stepping in as your substitute wouldn't give you much more confidence, would it, really? You've got everything to lose and nothing to gain. I thought that really took my eye, and I think Trelawne is a really interesting one here. There have been a few market moves, Andy Post, for this, and it'd be interesting to see if some of them sort of get reversed a little bit on the day. The Goffer is not particularly obvious in this season's form, but I'm not sure how many people are aware that he won that charity race, the stable staff contest, which is well publicised in Ireland, but not necessarily on this side of the Irish Sea. So, but in fairness, all the wise guys spotted that straight away and punted him for this race. And it's a route that Gordon's taken before with Cheltenham horses, sticking in charity races that don't appear in the form book, and then go for a touch at Cheltenham. So he's liable to go well, but he's well found in the market. And I thought Trelawne has the scope for one to be punted on the day, and I like his profile a lot. Especially with six places, you know, because I think there's a lot of horses I wouldn't fancy in this race. At a much bigger price, I can see myself being forced to put up Lord de Menil each way. He's been around forever, but he does have a good Cheltenham record, and he's about 40-1 at the moment, and he's one of those horses that might just get ignored in the betting and become even bigger. And at 50s or bigger, there might be a half point each way coming from me on the Sporting Life column. But I'll have my arm twisted for that, it has to be said.
That's okay. Right, so potentially two for Rory with Lord de Mille adding in to Trelawne, who gets the double nod.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the Champion Hurdle, a day one feature. State Man, this is a very, very, this market has pretty much already been well decided a few days ago on Constitution Hill. Came out 4-11 State Man for a show, 4-1 Irish Point, Iberico Delord the Mover, 12-1 supplemented for the race, 20-1 Lucia, 20-1 Not So Sleepy, and all the way down to your buddy, Colonel Mustard at 50-1, Rory. But, and I will go back to you, Rory, then, because I think I know you're on Colonel Mustard each way already. I know you're on him, yeah. But are you with a fresh pair of eyes out of the decks? Are you gonna advise an each way bet again?
Well, there is something for you. He's wearing blinkers for the first time, and he ran well with cheek pieces on behind State Man at Punchestown last year. And I had a word with Lorna this morning, and she's convinced he'd go better in blinkers. And he is. You know, listen, if you take your viewpoint about him that he's a little bit of a monkey, then he actually just might be the type to go well in blinkers. I think that can work both ways. It can backfire, but also it can eke out a little bit of improvement. I will be getting involved again on the day. I've got Colonel Mustard in multiple bets with the likes of Florian Porter and the Stayers and Cormac Rambler and the Gold Cup and the Hoy Senor and the Ryanair. So
Captain Guinness and Chappie Chase.
I would, you know, it would be tremendous if he could sneak into the frame at 100-1 for me for that bet. So there's no need for me to be playing that up, or indeed I don't think there's a massive angle elsewhere. The favourite is too short to be piling onto, but he's very, very solid and should get the job done. And I don't think there's much else wrong with the market. There's no obvious rick to me. I think Iberico Lord's short enough. You know, he's being supplemented into the race, not because they suddenly think he's tremendously, he's progressed massively again since Newbury. A solid form, but it's just that, you know, Nicky's missing a runner, and there's an opportunity to have a horse with half a chance in a weekend race. But I think the gamble on him is a little meh for me.
Fair enough. So no fresh angle, but you are documented that you've got Colonel Mustard. Ruby, State Man wins, I assume, but I want a forecast from you.
Yeah, I do. Rory says he's too short or for betting, probably. I think he's the first leg of a double, a great double on Tuesday, and a 4-11 that makes the double even better. And yeah, he's barring an accident, really. He's the best horse in the race, so he just doesn't need bad luck. And I suppose the forecast, PK, I'll be watching Jerry Coder Epina, see how he gets on. If he shows me signs that he runs well, I think Iberico Lord will get in the three. But I'd want to watch how Jerry Coder Epina gets on the first before I'd be having an interest in that.
Yeah, the concerns over the Dickie Henderson horses will be very, very keen to see how he gets on. And Sergino took a walk in the market on Sunday night. But then Nicky Henderson posted on Twitter a lovely piece of work that he had done. So it's just one of those, I think, sheepy kind of moves. Right, so State Man will win the Champion Hurdle, according to both the lads. Keep an eye on Iberico Delord and Jericho de Repine, it would appear, as well, in the early race, and Colonel Mustard. Maybe he'll sneak in for you. Maybe he will. Let's move on to the 4:10. It is the Mayor's Hurdle again, the short price favourite. Lost to Mate, she's been short price favourite for a long time. 8-15 on the opening show. 9-2 Ashrow Diamond, also for Willie. And then 12's Bar, Love Envoy, Marie's Rock. 14, 16-1 Echoes and Rain, Gallimar Soul 16-1, Lantry Lady Declare, Jack Kennedy Book 20-1, who also Henry Bromhead has got Hispanic Moon in the same colours. Back to you, Ruby. Lost Mate, you're a massive fan. She wins?
Yeah, huge fan. 8-15 with 4-11. I've been tipping that at 1-3 and 1-2, which made even money. So I'm assuming that's a little bit better than that again. I do. She's in great form. She's improved a good bit from last year. Astro Diamond is a 2.5 mile winner, so she should stay. Patrick rides her. She's a hold on as well, but I would prefer Lassie Mount. Marie's Rock, I don't think is in the form this year she was last year. Echoes and Rain has failed a couple of times, Gallimar, so I can't forgive her running punches. Stand it was so bad behind Hispanic Moon. For an each way one, I think Tell Me Something Girl, Rachel would have had the choice, and she's gone for the longest price one. That to me is a sign. She obviously thinks she was running really well in this race a couple of years ago and she fell. I think with a couple of runs over hurdles this year, she improved from a run behind you, Tara, to chase home Derek the Brave, who's in the champion hurdle. I think each way I'd be going with Tell Me Something Girl, but I think Lassie Mount double with statement is my bet for Tuesday.
Some people have raised the question that the trip of 2.5 miles is a question for Lassie Mount. Do you think so?
I'm sure it was a question for Queen Vega as well. It was a question for them all, but I wouldn't be worried about it.
No problem for her. Rory.
Yeah, I'm not convinced about her. It's a race that I was obviously, from an anti-post point of view, desperate for brighter days ahead. To get the nod here, which never happened in the end. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been topping up no better 14-1, and I even backed her at 33s all in the hope that things would go my way. But it hasn't worked. There's nothing else in the field that I'm keen to take Lossie Mouth on with. But I do think that stamina has to be queried, and I don't think there's been enough questions. Well, the question has been asked about whether she has the stamina, but it's been brushed aside. As if it's not a big deal. And for me, she's a keen enough goer and she's bred for speed. I would be a little concerned about her over 2.5 miles. And I've been looking for something to go with against her. There's nothing that I'm absolutely sold on at the moment. I suppose you can make a case. You can make a case for something that's well ridden from the front here, and you wear it well, would make a degree of appeal. On that score, I'm not sure she's quite got the class for it, but obviously she got away from them last year in the Dawn Run, and she could easily, with most of the major contenders here wanting to be held up, Tell Me Something Girl, I suppose could go handy as well, but you wear it well. I think they need to revert to front running tactics with her. Her form when she's made the running is much better than her form when she's been held up, and of course she's been tried over longer trips. Since her reappearance, she was tried over 3 miles at Doncaster and held up for that. She was held up again, enlisted the company at Haydock last time out, and she hasn't. She was disappointing last time, but I do think on the back of those runs, they must decide to go forward with her and make the running. And I think this is probably her trip. She just likes the class for me to be massively confident about her, because you can argue she wasn't quite the best horse in the race in the Mare's Novice last year, but I still think with the run of the race, she might sneak into the frame at a price, and she's going to be. What price is she with you at the moment?
I've already skipped on the Bibles. Yeah, classic me. Two steps. I'm like Ronnie O'Sullivan. I'm two shots ahead.
Well, I've got it myself, so don't bother going
16,
back.
16 to 1.
She'll be bigger than 16s.
Yeah.
She'll be bigger than 16s. I mean, no one wants her at 30 on the exchanges at the moment, so I think you're bound to get bigger. I know, yeah. Obviously people are a bit careful with an odds on favourite, but I'd have thought you're going to get 25-1 on the day about her, and that's the price that I might step in for a small each way bet. But I'd be playing the mathematics of it there rather than having a strong bet.
That's okay. And of course, I know Rory's not your jam, but you can look at the top three, top four finishes. Should you fancy, instead of having the win part, if you just don't think she's going to be good enough to beat Lossie Mouth, but you do like the angle, do check out those extra markets, which will be available on pettybear.com and in shops. Right, the Boodles, 4.50, Lark in the Morning, big talking horse for this race for some time, a maiden over hurdles for Joseph and JJ 7, 9-2 favourite, Batman Jack for Willie and Daryl Jacobs, 6-1, Milan Tino, the French Raider, 13-2, 8-1, and Dowie for Gordon Elliott. Interestingly, Wood Who not declared. O's Partier for Martin Brassel, Ricky Doyle, Nibbles, 8-1, and Liari, the top weight. Back to you, Ruby. I've spoken a few times about this, and you do like the Ballymore horse, but maybe not the favourite.
Yeah, I just think Ghost Patir, he caught my eye, Gary, or PK at Leopardstown, behind Cala Conti. I mean, a lot of these horses ran in that race, and he was the one I took out of it. He wears a hood in it, don't I? Ricky Doyle rides him. I think by the time the race comes around, he could be a bit bigger than the 8-1 he is this morning. But look, Willie has a couple in. Batman Jarak needs to settle and show that he stays. Outside of him, you have Carrier the Blazes. A bit disappointed with her behind Miss Manzer, and Danny rides Miss Manzer as well, who's I don't think has a whole pile in hand. So Oz Patir each way for me.
Okay, all right, Oz Patir each way for Ruby. I'm very Thank you for calling me Gary O'Brien. If I'm half as good as him, Ruby, I'm doing it right. Right.
Rory and Chamberlain take it as well.
Ah, sure. Look, we'll find out next week when you're half cut in the booth. Right, Rory, your thoughts.
This is a race where everyone's looking for a plot every year, but I think it's worth people remembering what the prices of the winners of the Boodles / Fred Winter have been in the last 10 or 12 years. Uno Artiste 40-1, and then moving closer, 25s, 33s, 25s, 33s, 33s, 80-1, 10-1, and 18-1. I've missed a favorite out there, obviously, with Band of Outlaws, but this is a race where you might as well just start with the biggest outsider and work your way in and try to find the angle that you like. And it's an absolute nightmare. I don't like anything particularly strongly. I looked at those parts here as well. I thought that was interesting, but I thought I'd be getting 20-1 plus about it. But listen, anything trained by Martin Brassel and the Ballymore colour is going to Cheltenham. No one's daft enough to offer big odds about it. His early form is interesting. He was disappointing, obviously, last time out, but I'd rather have something dropping from grade one, grade two company in this than something that's placed in slightly lesser company. I thought Nara was a little bit interesting. I know she was beaten last time out in that race at Nace, which always tends to throw up the winner. Eagle Fine won that in the Durkin colours. And Nara was quite well fancied at 3-1, but was disappointing back and forth. The horse that was disappointing in fourth in this race last year went on to win at Cheltenham. And I wouldn't be ruling Nara out too soon. She was a little bit keen on the day. She'd need to settle a bit better to have a chance here. But I thought she was of some interest. But I really, you're going to have to twist my arm really hard to have a bet on something at this stage in the race. And I'm liable to just look for horses that are big prices that are just being ignored by everyone, looking for the plot that doesn't exist.
All right. Well, keep looking and let us know if it emerges. Right. That is the Boodles, the Os Partiri trade for Ruby. And the final event, the Maureen Mullins National Hunt Challenge Cup, obviously for novices over 3.6 miles, the former 4-miler. Corbett's Cross and Embassy Gardens, they've been battling for favouritism for the last week or so. 7-4 joints, they've opened up on Sunday. Salvador Ziggy for Gordon Elliott and Rob James, 9-2. It's 12's bar. This is the only race with only two places each way. So Derek rides Corbett's Cross. Patrick's on board Embassy Gardens, Ruby. It looks very close between the two.
It is 7-4 each of two. Bought wearing hoods for the first time. Bought rate at 150. NBC Gardens is 2-2 over fences. Corbett's Cross is 1-4. He was placed in grade one behind Grange Clare West and got knocked over in a chase behind Velvet Elvis. I'm slightly with Corbett's Cross, and I'm going back to the Albert Bartlett last year, and one came to the fore and one blew out. That's the only way I can split them. So I'm with Corbett's Cross here. And and I don't think there'll be much between them, actually.
Yeah, fair enough. All these hoods. Rory, any angle into the National Chase?
Not a particularly strong one. I'm not absolutely sold that this is between the front two. And I know a few people have suggested that Apple Away has been disappointing, but every year Lucinda Russell's horses hit form in the spring and end up raising their game. She did last year. She's a grade one winner. You can make excuses for her penultimate run at Warwick, where she got involved in a battle for the lead and not going too hard. That's better than it looks. And I thought she ran well at Ascot in the Reynolds Town last time out. I know she's up against the pair who beat her that day, but I'm not sure it was an out-and-out test of the stamina. She gave the impression that more of a test will suit her. She'll stay beyond 3 miles. And she's a big prize for a mare of her ability. So I'd be inclined to chance her at big odds.
Yep, Apple Away. Interestingly, they popped her in here rather than they could have gone the Ultimate, was it? Was that she entered that as well? I can't remember which one it was, but one of the bigger handicaps. Yeah, she's in quite a few. Right, so Apple Away each way, potentially each way, or maybe just go, it's only the two places, I'll probably go win only. Right, lads, that's day one done, and dusted, it's time for your Cheltenham day one naps, please. And as Ruby has got one foot in the plane heading over to Presby, I'll allow you to go first, please, Ruby.
Well, I think the Dublin has lost the mountain statement. It's odds against now. I was at even money, and I think at odds against. I think they're two rock solid horses, and of all the short ones this week, they'd be the two I'd be most confident about.
Lovely. Okay, kicking off with William Mullins double on day one. Rory, I appreciate it. You weren't particularly strong on anything in particular here on day one, but had you a nap?
No, it's the one or two I was strong on earlier on. You know, I want to say Colonel Mustard, don't you? But no, it'll be Trelawne in the Ultimate.
Excellent. All right, brilliant stuff, Trelawney, the Ultimate. That's day one wrapped up. Nice little niche short podcast. We'll be alive every day this week, or at least in your eardrums, every day this week for the Cheltenham Festival. And next time we talk, Ruby will be in Cheltenham. Gloria will still be in Riyadh. Best of luck with your bets for day one. Remember, the free bets available online and the free betting shops. And also, don't forget, Tuesday, get down to the Brewery Quarter. You might see Ruby Walsh having a skin pull before he goes into the tactics truck, which would be quite the scene. I tell you, you glass champagne. He likes a glass champagne. You never know. Rory, we'll chat to you again tomorrow. Ruby's already on the plane. We'll talk to you all tomorrow, looking ahead to day two. Don't forget the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Loads of good stuff on that still to be watched. But until day two, chat then, folks.